Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mike Underhill. I'm here as a fraud because this is one of the few days we can speak on solar energy in Wellington for us Wellingtonians in the audience. And as I look out for the sea, there ain't much marine energy out there today. But nevertheless, let me start on this. EECA Energy Efficiency and Conservation Authority, what we do is we promote energy efficiency and we advance renewable energy. That's our goal. And whether it's the residential, business, products, energy supply or government areas, that's what we're trying to do. And the interesting thing is when you look around the world, that virtually every country is picking up this initiative for a whole variety of reasons, for energy security, even as well as job creation and economic recovery. I saw an ad in the Herald on Friday which said, sea power promoters swimming against the tide. And I thought, well, I wonder why that is. And the thing that does it for me is I just look at that diagram there. Many of us have seen that diagram, which simply says what's the height of the waves and how much energy is contained in there. And when I look at New Zealand with 19,000 kilometres of coastline and huge chunks on that west coast and actually even some of the east coast where there's significant energy contained in the waves, look at that little gentle calm stretch between the North Island and the South Island and think about ocean currents. Then think about one or two of our very big harbours. That's why I'm excited about marine energy, because we have significant potential. The thing is, in these days, we all want instant gratification, so sure there's a bit of marine energy there. Why is this lazy industry here in New Zealand unable to have thousands of megawatts up and constructed right now? Well, those of us who've been around a while in this industry know it takes a while to get these sort of investments off the ground. And my really strong advice here is we have the potential here, very clearly established. It's all about how we develop that. And in our impatience, which characterises our society today, let's not lose the potential that's sitting there. So, we do have a tremendous resource, a long coastline, surface and marine energy can survive. We do have renewable energy expertise. We have a lot of expertise in New Zealand. And actually, because of our marine potential, we're an ideal testing site for other countries around the world. But, high cost of development, we're not a large industrial nation. In my view, to offending a number of you here, I think we'll be a fast follower rather than we're going to build the stuff ourselves. Nothing against building ourselves, that's just my view. So, the challenge for the New Zealand marine industry, proving the resource. How much resource do we have? And until you can do that, then you're pushing it uphill a bit. Overcoming the barriers to installation. Well as seeing that we're swimming against the tide in last week's Herald, all around the media is, of course, the challenges up in the Kaipara Harbour. Sorting out connectivity issues. I spent years in the electricity sector, and actually as a sector we can be quite difficult if you're trying to deal with us. Now that I'm working for the government, I'm perfectly easy to deal with, a very helpful and friendly person. But that's not necessarily the way outsiders perceive the electricity sector. Competing with other renewables. For some of you overseas guests here today, we have an abundance of renewables, which I'll come on into a minute. So in one sense, even though we think there's value here, you are competing with other renewables. Do we think geothermal should be better than the marine, or wind better than marine, or even solar? And then, of course, waiting for the technology. And then when you get through all of that, obviously the things you face each time with new investment is, where's the funding coming from, and how secure is it? UK comparison? They used to be a large, successful country, but they also have a significant amount of wave and tidal stream resource. They have a lot of offshore experience gained through the oil industry, and they really do. I mean, I think the North Sea is a pretty awful place. They're looking at, just as we are, the barriers, the opportunities, research opportunities, test centres, and they estimate between 1 and 2,000 megawatts could be installed by 2020. Well, that's interesting because that's only 9 years away, so that's a pretty significant challenge. So, where are we in the world of renewable energy? Now, this is renewable energy across the whole spectrum, so it includes transport. 31% of all the energy we use in New Zealand is renewable. Now, in electricity, it's far higher than that, but across the spectrum. But when we look out to the left, through to the European countries, other parts of the world, you can see there most of them are down in single figures. Our friends in Norway, because of the way they're blessed with water, are right up at over 50%. So we're sitting right up there amongst the potential. And if we include Iceland and its volcanic energy, of course, they'd be right at the top too. But let's leave them out at this stage. So, looking at New Zealand, in the last quarter of 2009, 73% of our electricity came from renewables. And if you've got a good eyesight, you can see the various components of that. Passed for about 5 years. And of course, if I can walk away from the microphone, we're aiming to get to 90% by 2025. 90% by 2025. So what it's saying is, renewables are a key part of where we're going to in the future. And if you look at an inventory, and if you look at this diagram, someone's seen it before, the lightest blue is sort of what's happening now. The next one is a potential capacity by 2025. Sorry, is what we expect in our planning. And the darkest blue is sort of what the capacity is. And the interesting thing is, in New Zealand, when we talk about renewable electricity, we tend to look at the block of numbers on the far side there and think about hydro. And hydro's fantastic. But if you look at geothermal, wind in particular, and actually look at marine. And I think that says there's 8,000 megawatts of potential there. It's probably at least that amount. And then as we come to the right-hand side, the indications are the biomass and the solar potential are actually quite significantly understated. So what's interesting in New Zealand when we look at our renewable potential, we move away from the traditional hydro, which many countries around the world would envy our capacity there, move to geothermal, wind, marine, biomass, biogas. Just as an aside, there's more forestry waste on the forest floor than there is hydroelectricity in terms of energy. Does that make sense? So we just leave it on the forest floor. Why can't we use the wood potential? But actually, that's a competitor for this industry. So all I'm saying in New Zealand, when you look at our inventory, renewables dominate it. Now, we also know that we're actually blessed in terms of non-renewables. And that's the interesting thing, that we have a huge potential. We have the highest per capita potential of renewable energy anywhere in the world. People are saying, well, we may well have that in non-renewable forms as well. So in terms of being an energy country, there is significant potential. So pros and cons, coming from the government now, I always put the negatives first, I used to put the positives first, but we all know in this industry we're still at the prototype stage, and that's fine, but it's very hard to capture the more conservative people if you're still at the prototype stage. It is a difficult environment to work in. I mean, the sea really is a difficult environment. So maintenance is an issue, environmental effects and RMA issues, and of course, for a new technology, money is difficult. But jeepers, low carbon renewable, no visual, or air pollution, big potential if we can get our act right. And the other thing in New Zealand, because we have every so many years, usually in an election year, we usually have a hydro crisis, it's part of a portfolio that can help balance our security of supply. Do people support renewable? Well, this is a motherhood and apple pie question. Well, of course they do. But I need to say that. We do surveys, and as you can see from there, a very large percentage of the New Zealand population think renewables are good. Some actually don't know that we have renewable energy, but that's mainly people from Christchurch. I'll jump to Christchurch there. So here's an interesting thing. I'm not sure how you can read that from the back. Jay, can you read that for you? You can read it. You wrote it. But what it's doing is looking at the various forms of renewable and getting an indication of level understanding. The reason that's important is you do have to win the hearts and minds of New Zealand if we're going to develop this industry. And so you go from know nothing, I'm not interested, to know little, etc., to know quite a lot. Marine energy, this one here, has the lowest level of know quite a lot. Does that mean you know it all? Well, probably not. But looking at the population, significantly less people in New Zealand think they know a lot about marine energy. And actually, the next one is lower too. So that's just an interesting thing to think how you position this industry. And then the other one is the level of support. Well, actually, there's a good level of support for marine energy if I only knew what it meant. And if I'm a surfer and it's my beach, well, maybe not. If I'm a fisherman at Kaipara Harbour, well, maybe not. But what I'm saying is you need to think about that because you look at the wind energy, this is part of winning the hearts and minds of people in New Zealand if you're going to get this industry off the ground. Yep, getting the message very quick. So here's New Zealand compared to the rest of the world. I mean, most industrial companies are fossil fuel dependent, literally, really fossil fuel development. Limited opportunities for renewables, and they have other constraints. Now, the thing I like in New Zealand is, one slide first. When you look out to the future, apart from that blip where the recession's coming in, there's still a strong growth in demand for energy, actually driven significantly by India and China, but there's still a strong growth right throughout the world. And if you look at this next slide, you can see the black line, if you've got good eyesight, picking up by 2030, where the IEA is expecting a third of global energy will come from some form of renewables, and the brown line you see is ticking down, i.e. the coal line. Don't tell Don Elder I said that, but that's interesting. So in terms of perception worldwide. So here's the thing that I see for New Zealand. We have clean energy. We have a ton of clean energy. We actually have fresh water, although if you live in Northland you may disagree with that. But actually we do have a lot of fresh water, and the amount we pour into the sounds down south is significant. We have a good climate and productive land. So what's interesting, if you look at New Zealand's key strategic advantages in the global economy, say you tie those together and say, how does that position our economic development? And just take tourism. The tourism sector is crying out to brand themselves in this clean economy, and they're falling over themselves with solar cells on the roofs of the hotels, etc., trying to show their buses are running on biodiesel, etc., because this is a big industry and they rely on this branding. Much of our export GDP comes from primary production, so they're keen to get their branding. Very quickly. Support for the industry, yep, we support Albertia. We think what they're doing is very good, so good on them. We make submissions on, on the consent hearings. We're about to make an announcement, not today, I'm sorry, on the next round of the Marine Energy Deployment Fund. The New Zealand Energy Strategy is under review. Renewables are an important part of that. And here's an important thing, thinking about dealing with the government. Here are four priorities the government's saying is important when they look at energy. It must contribute to economic growth. It must assist security of supply. It must assist affordability, both at the energy poverty end of the spectrum and businesses trying to compete internationally. And, of course, it must be environmental responsibility. I sort of think marine energy sort of ticks most of those boxes. And if you're engaging with government, you need to think about how you tick those boxes. So, selling marine energy in New Zealand. People say, well, how does it work? You have the least knowledge of any of the renewable energy forms. So tell people how it works. Where will it get developed? Is it my best serving beach? What are the downsides? And there is a bit of a desire in the media in New Zealand in general. You know, we tend to focus on the downsides. And how much will it cost? What are the benefits? What are the hurdles? Who will benefit? How many jobs will be created? And do we have sufficient capacity to handle, etc.? Which device to write for New Zealand. So they're just a range of obvious questions to people in this audience, but they're the ones you need to pick up on. And finally, I think has a huge potential, but it will take time. And just because it will take time, let's not throw this away, because there is a serious potential. You are competing with other renewables, so let's keep remembering that. And let's look at us as the fast technology follower. And of course, we're keen to work with the industry. But in the end, there must be a commercially viable marine industry in the Middle East. So, you can't just rely on that. Thanks very much.